Are you bugged by spotted lanternfly? Wait a minute. What are they? Where did they come from? Why are they in my neighborhood? Why are there so many? What do you do about them? Well, if you're an artist of exceptional creative ability, you design a visual zone of syncopation. Penn State Lehigh Valley Campus Arts Initiative presents a public arts project highlighting the beauty of the destructive insect. Curated and co-chaired by Liz Flaherty and by Ann Lalick, who's the arts coordinator, and created by visiting artist Elsa B. Dixon, the installation will be unveiled Monday, December the 2nd, from 4 to 6 p.m. The public is invited to share in light refreshments and to meet the artist and community partners. What a wonderful project. This is WDIY 88.1 Lehigh Valley Public Radio, and you are tuned to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host, Kate Scuffle, we chat today with Ann Lalick, Penn State University Lehigh Valley Campus Arts Initiative co-chair, and with Elsa B. Dixon, artist extraordinaire and creator of Spotted Lanternfly, Zones of Syncopation. Ladies, I welcome you.
Thank you for having us.
I'm fascinated. We were talking a little bit before the show when I first started to receive material about this project from Anne. You know, working and gardening here in the Lehigh Valley, I had a very, very specific response to lanternflies. I was told to squash and do whatever I needed to eliminate them. And I'd feel guilty thinking about how beautiful they were. So I was fascinated to see this. Can you tell us a little bit about what the inspiration was for the project? We'll talk a little bit more about how the artists in Penn State got together. But, Elsa, you have a long-time relationship with the natural world, insects and such, do you not?
I do. I use insects as my medium, and I take in consideration the entire life cycle. So I try to see what I can harvest from insects and what they produce during their life cycles. And most insects are quite fascinating.
And you grew up working with silkworms, I understand?
That's right. So I was born in South Africa, and the French Huguenots came over after the Edict of Nantes, and they settled in South Africa. They brought over their silkworms, and they brought over wine. The wine industry started. They say everything in the Cape was vinegar before the French arrived. But and the silk industry never took off, but each family then basically passed down from one generation to the next the ability to raise silkworms. So at one point I realized I could raise 8,000 silkworms, and I didn't know why. And here we are in the 21st century. So it's a very odd thing, but yes, and I love it. So as many children in South Africa do as well. But the silkworm industry did take off in Europe. So if you look at Buckingham Palace, it's surrounded with mulberry trees, which is the only thing that silkworms eat. And it was planted there by French Huguenots. Some went down to South Africa, some went up to the British Isles.
And how did this project get to Penn State? Were you responsible for this? I know you're bugged by a lot of things yourself, but
well, the way this project started is at University Park. There was a seed grant that funded a project we call Campus Arts Initiative, and two professors at the university applied for the seed grant. So what the idea of this program is to fund eight campuses across the state, across the university, Penn State University. And eight campuses applied. Our Penn State Lehigh Valley, Liz Flaherty and I wrote a proposal to the Campus Arts Initiative. And so our campus was chosen as one of eight across the state. Mm-hmm. And really our desire was the desire that all of us campuses had to have was to want to participate in a community public art project. And the university Campus Arts Initiative took us all eight of us through a process of jurying. Artists across the country applied. I think there were over 150 artists who applied. Sort of an application to, you know, to people like Elsabe to say, yes, right, I have participated in public community art projects. So we went through this jury process. We kind of knew we wanted to do something related to the spotted lanternfly, although we weren't totally committed to it. But we have a professor at our campus, Dr. Karen Cackley-Dutt, who researches the spotted lanternfly. She works very closely with the university and the Penn State Extension. So she's been doing this research. She's been keeping our campus very informed about what we need to do as a community, mm-hmm, and the destruction of the destructive nature of this bug. So we kind of had it in the back of our mind. And so when Elsabe was one of those many artists to apply for the project, we saw her background. We saw her amazing work she has done with bees, mm-hmm, and with silkworms, and just felt that she would be a perfect match for us and for this project. So that's really how this came to our campus. And Elsabe does not live around here, so she's been a visiting artist on many occasions, but coming all the way from Virginia and, you know, and fulfilling this awesome project.
And Elsabe, what did you think when the spotted lanternfly was suggested to you as a focus?
I'd never heard of the spotted lanternfly, and then I looked it up, and when I saw those wings, who could not fall in love?
Yes, absolutely.
they are absolutely gorgeous.
Luminous.
Yes, and usually, you know, now we've got such restrictions on butterflies, so it's really nice to have a bug that you can can work with, you know, that's not restricted.
And what was the, given that, what became the goal of the program? Education, because we were talking earlier too that there's that odd tension between they're beautiful and yet they're destructive. Mm. The community, and we know around here, we've been trained or kind of geared to not like them, to be to consider them unpleasant. What did you want the community to come out at the other end of this project with feeling or having done?
Well,
or discovered.
Yeah, I had committed to a community engagement project. So how do you get people engaged? Yeah. And this is actually very difficult. And you do need a team. And I thank Anne, mm-hmm, because her team has been so supportive. And it's very, the project turned out to be very labor intensive. But many, many people participated. And once you invest, you really have buy-in. And you also, we would agree that whoever worked on this project really got to look at the insect intensely. I mean, how do you get people to look at something? And that's also my charge as an artist. How do you get people to look at the work? Mm-hmm. And I tend to do that through labor. So for me, I know that if I force people to labor over something for long periods of time, they feel such an investment that they will return to it and they will remember it.
And in a sense, what people were being asked to do then in the community was to harvest them more than
right,
be destructive. Yes,
right.
I would imagine that at one point someone said, what do you mean harvest them? They bite, don't they?
Or something.
Bite.
No, but no.
No, but that discovery is then made. And then how do you harvest them? Because they're extremely jumpy. So, you know, how do you catch them? And that was the big thing. And I phoned up an entomologist friend, Sam Droogie. He's very well known in Maryland and Virginia, all along the East Coast, actually. And he said to me, Elsabe, I catch my bees with a shop vac. You can easily catch them with a shop vac. And he said, what you really have to do in order to catch them is just put a little sudsy water, no chemicals, just sudsy water, and just vacuum them up. And sure enough, you know, that was a very successful thing to do. And I think they're very big removals, but it's always done with pesticides, and it doesn't need to be done with pesticides.
True. I wanted to mention that a lot of people are killing them in many different ways,
mm-hmm,
including tennis rackets. But but people
mosquito
are spraying
tennis rackets, right? Yeah.
People are spraying them with very highly toxic
when it's not
insecticides
necessary.
When it's not necessary.
Yeah. No.
It's just soap and water.
Shop vacs are great. And you get them in all sizes, mm-hmm. you know. A little one would be great, even for other stuff, you know, that you want to vacuum up. So keep a shop vac.
And then you actually had, because the wings are what are used in the creation, the piece, the installation, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So how does one harvest wings? Mm-hmm. Is that something you work with?
Well, you know, we did talk.
First you have to kill them.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, so I like to say
you
catch them, you put them in a baggie, and you put them in the freezer,
okay.
and they fall asleep and they never wake up.
Which is very humane.
Yes, and they fall asleep very peacefully. So you have to kill them first. We're not pulling wings off of light bugs.
Right.
I just want to make that clear.
No.
Right? So
are interrupting, as you said earlier, cycles. There's an interruption implicit.
There's an interruption because they grow wings for the reason of mating and spreading their seeds, their eggs far and wide. And I think when you catch an adult nymph, you are really intercepting. And that brings us back to the title of the project, which is Spotted Lanternfly's Zones of Syncopation. So if you look at musical scores, SFZ stands for syncopation in music. So intervals, interruptions, or periods that are different.
And in a sense, because I did not realize they didn't have a natural predator, although it makes sense, that thus the explosion of the population. The community becomes an ad hoc predator, really, because if we catch them at the right place in the cycle, right?
Yeah, and that's crucial, is catching them at the right time, and then also trying to figure out where they laid their eggs. A lot of people are cutting down trees, the tree of heaven, early on, but if you allow them to just infest those trees and then cut the trees down and burn them in the fall, you might have a better chance of, you know, eliminating them.
So it sounds like in some ways, if I were a community, and I'd like to talk about the community involvement, folks that were involved had to see, rather than going and stomping on a lanternfly in the parking lot, had to stop, look, be attentive.
Investigate. Form inquiries, you know, ask questions, and that did happen with all of us.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
I mean, we are trained around here to, you know, stomp on them and smush them, and we needed them, you know, unsmushed. So it was interesting psychologically. I think we talked about it, how people would not want to stop and catch them and freeze them. You know, they really wanted to just smash them. But we did have enough buy-in, so we definitely had enough wings. But there weren't that many people who really wanted to take the time to do it delicately the way we needed it done. But amazingly, it all worked out, and you know, our pieces are finished.
I just think it's extraordinary to ask people to interact with it in a different way and still achieve the you know, kind of undercutting the destructiveness, but to be in a kind of rhythm with the whole process.
I like that word, rhythm. Yeah.
It's interesting too that. You know, not only insects, but beetles and beetle wing is an ancient craft technique using iridescent beetle wings in Thailand and Japan to adorn paintings, textiles, and jewelry. And Lalek has already kind of mastered that. In fact, women from India actually kept living greenish coppery beetles as pets.
Mm-hmm.
These living jewels were worn on clothing at festival occasions, with a small chain on one leg of the insect attached to the cloth. Of course, that's to keep it from escaping. Afterwards, the insects were bathed, fed, housed in decorative cages, jeweled living beetles. But we don't recommend doing that with a spotted lanternfly. We shall return after this brief message.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or wdiy.org.
This is WDIY 88.1 Lehigh Valley Public Radio, Many Choices, Real Voices. We're chatting with Ann Lalick and Elsa B. Dixon about the new project at the Pennsylvania State Lehigh Valley campus.
We were talking about an exhibition that will have an unveiling on Monday, December 2nd. We just want to reinforce that. Monday, December 2nd, 4 to 6 p.m. will be the unveiling of the installation Spotted Lanternfly, Zones of Syncopation by artist Elsa B. Dixon. The unveiling on Monday is free and open to the public, and you're invited to enjoy refreshments, meet the artists and our community partners. And I would like to ask about some of those community partners. How did you connect with the community? Who came forward? What did any of the responses surprise you?
Well, should I start? Excuse me.
And line them all up.
Well, you know, we do have our fingers out there into the community, and, right. and some of our intentions were to contact schools and to contact art programs and environmental programs and
garden centers
okay. and garden clubs, Penn State Extension, who already is, you know, massively involved with awareness right. about the spotted lanternfly. So we put the call out. We found that a lot of the interested schools that were interested came through the science and environmental departments. Mm-hmm. Moravian Academy did a wonderful part of the the
very
piece.
Precise is all I can say yeah. about their piece. It's beautiful. So beautiful and very regular yeah. and neat and
yes.
tidy.
And one that surprised me, at least, was that we actually were contacted by the Germantown Friends School, the teacher there. And she had started following it on social media, on I think it was Instagram posts, someone that we didn't even know. And so she reached out. She said, I've been following along. My students are collecting bugs. You know, we're doing this. Now what do we do? So we made sure our wonderful student, Elise Schaefer, connected with the teacher and brought her the pieces that she needed to start working on it. You know, down in Germantown. Yeah. We had a school, Liz Flaherty, who's my co-chair with this, had some connections with an East Stroudsburg Middle School, J.T. Lambert Intermediate. They did the whole 3-foot diameter
wow.
piece with, I think, 100 students worked on that. The Cave Brewery in Emmaus, Allentown, Emmaus, where the South Mall is, the Cave Brewery hosted 2 workshops. It was just so much fun. So we could, like, you know, do our wings and drink beer and had a great time there. They were a partner. The Bomb School hosted some workshops. Arts Fest in Allentown. Coca-Cola Park was one of our partners. They let us
shop
come
back.
And shop back those bugs one day. So the Emmaus Garden Club, Master Gardeners, just so many different people, really.
Interesting.
And different groups were represented by different colors, so they could choose the, like, the garden
pin colors.
Right. Pin colors, okay. So mm-hmm. the garden group had green.
Yes, and our Penn State students had blue and white, because our students at Penn State did quite a bit of it as mm-hmm. well.
And so once the wings were collected and preserved, and what for our listeners with the pins, if I'm one of the community members and I've got my wings, my pins, and I'm ready to go, what are the parameters? What am I told? What are we looking to do with this? Is it free form? Am I? Are there guidelines? What are we looking to,
well,
to represent in a sense and interpret?
I designed the project as circles,
okay.
you know, in Fibonacci code. So we have two 1-foot circles, a 2-foot circle, a 3-foot circle, a 5-foot circle, and an 8-foot circle with centerpieces that are black spots. But then each partner, a community partner group, got a segment, and they could work on that for as long as they wanted. Sometimes one segment was passed to another group, and then you just fill it up, and the rule of thumb was work from the inside out as a mandala, as you would construct mm-hmm. a mandala. So mm-hmm. you move from the center point out in a radial design, and people just, you know, did the most creative, wonderful things. It looks very much, we've just contemplated, we've just brought it together, and it looks very much like a agricultural field seen from above in a aeroplane. So you could see different fields, different segments, and it's quite interesting.
It's pretty
to
magnificent.
See how it came together.
Yeah.
And was there a lot of variety then within the
beautiful variety and wonderful. I told people who wanted to put words in, no, let's keep it abstract, and they honored that. But the patterns are quite phenomenal, and there's a lot of creative juices flowing from those panels, and it's lovely to see them. They very much represent a narrative, an authentic narrative, I think, of the community partners.
I was going to say one more reason for the audience to join you after Thanksgiving for Monday and Tuesday. It'll be shown to kind of experience the variety as well, that interpretation.
Mm. Yeah. Yes, yeah.
And how would it be it will be tabled for the first 2 days and then hung, is that?
Right. I want to honor the labor. And, you know, we do labor at tables. Mm. So it is, and I worked with an exhibition over at Glenstone Museum in Maryland. Mm. And Fishley and Weiss put up this wonderful long table of slides. And I watched how people enjoyed bending over a table as opposed to, and I spoke to quite a few museum people, and they said that there's more interest when you keep it at table level than if you keep it on the wall. For some reason, we see it as design or, you know, decoration when it's on the wall, but when it's on a table, people feel that it's a specimen. And it needs to be looked at. And we had quite a lot of people today.
Really?
Peeking at it in that way.
We're on break right now at Penn State, so this was a great time for Elsie B to come and install it.
Right.
But there were a few people around and checking it out. It was also funny, too, when we had pop-up pinnings on the campus. And again, Elise, our student, on every Tuesday and Thursday morning would bring out one of the sections, and anyone, students or faculty or staff who walked by could pin. Mm-hmm. And the few times that I was there, you know, I'd like call people over and guilt them into come over. And it's so funny how some people would just be like, oh, I don't want to touch them. Okay, I'll just do one. You know, so they would sit there one little wing on there. And then other people would just get engrossed and just stand there. And it's because you do get mesmerized by the process.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
And the statistics, the numbers that we were going over before the show, I didn't understand the scale. You're telling me there's over 50,000 wings because you've been tracking this as a team. Mm-hmm. And if that means 13,000 bugs, we would assume, and if 6,500 of them were female, that you've interrupted 260,000 to 650,000 eggs being laid.
That's true.
Astounding, as well as everything else about the project that's beneficial or been learned or been shared. I'm gobsmacked.
Well, if you look at it, it's overwhelming.
Yeah,
you know, so the amount of pins and the amount of wings, because every wing has a pin.
Yeah. So. We kept on buying, you know, 750 packs of pins, thinking that, oh, this should be fine. And then we soon realized, nope, you know. So we ate a lot of pins during this project. But they hold everything in place perfectly.
And it's really important, the project itself, because it is community-based. And it involves a lot of other people. And, of course, it's also important because it is an organizing artistic initiative for those people, which incidentally is an arts administration degree program at Penn State.
There sure is. We at Penn State Lehigh Valley, we have a 4-year degree program in arts administration. So this project fits perfectly into some of those goals that our program has. And I've mentioned her already, but Elise Schaefer is one of our students, a stellar arts administration major. She's been our assistant throughout. Actually, our student affairs department funded a part-time job for her to work for us for this program. And we couldn't have done it without her. There's such great community outreach with this. But yeah, we have this major, and it's wonderful for students who are interested in the business of the arts, whether it's visual arts or music or theater.
Thank you.
It's a great program.
Spotted Lantern Fly, Zones of Syncopation by Elsa B. Dixon at Penn State Lehigh Valley Campus. The unveiling takes place actually Monday, December the 2nd, 4 to 6 p.m., free and open to the public and continuing on display throughout 2020 at the Lehigh Valley Campus. We want to say thank you, too, to Steve Aronson, our technical engineer, who gets constantly bugged by Kate and me every week on Art Salon. Mm. So thanks, Uncle Stevie. Incidentally, his brother-in-law, can you tell us about your brother-in-law?
Let me get the mic here. He was definitely fixated on spotted lantern flies, but he was a smusher.
Well, tell him to come see it.
Bring him out on Monday and convert him.
He claims to have off hundreds of them. So,
I'm sure.
But not the way you would have liked.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you both for being here and talking about this beautiful project. I hope everyone goes out and gets to visit them themselves.
The installation is available and visible December 2nd and 3rd, Center Hall at Penn State Lehigh Valley. Art will continue to be on display throughout 2020.
Thank you, Elsie.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, George.